This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. What's up is down. What's down is up when it comes to ranking schools in Michigan. Dozens of schools found they dropped 50 points in the rankings, while others soared from near bottom to near top in the rankings. To help us understand what's going on, Erin Einhorn joins us via Skype. She's a reporter with Chalkbeat, which focuses on education issues. Let's start with some examples of schools that dropped in the state rankings.
Well, some of the big ones in Detroit include the most prestigious, most selective schools in the city, including Cass Tech and Renaissance and Bates Academy and one of the University Prep Charter School, High School, were all among schools. There were 31 schools in the state of Michigan that dropped by more than 50 points between the last school ranking in 2014 and the most recent one in 2016.
Wow. Okay, so who decides these rankings?
The rankings are put out by the Michigan Department of Education, which has been using test scores and graduation rates to make a big ranking of every school in the state every year since, I think, 2011.
So what's caused this dramatic change in the school rankings? I mean, it seems like they'd be fairly consistent.
Well, they've changed both the tests that the scores are drawn from to calculate the rankings, and they've changed the formula used for the ranking calculation.
That's right, because we went from MEEP to M-STEP. So tell me about the changes in the formula. What does that do?
Well, we went from MEEP to M-STEP, and we also went from the ACT to the SAT in high school. And some schools adapt to the change better than others, so that could account for why some schools would go up and some schools would go down. And then they also changed the formula. So historically, the Department of Ed has included something called an achievement gap, which in 2014 accounted for 25% of a school's ranking. And the achievement gap in this circumstance refers to the difference between the high performers in a school and the low performers in a school.
Why would they drop that?
Well, I think the criticism of it is that it masked some challenges in schools. So if every child in a school is performing badly, the school will have a low achievement gap, whereas a school that has, you know, many high performers and then many low performers would have a high achievement gap. And so some of the schools, some of the more, you know, affluent or higher performing schools were finding that the achievement gap calculation was hurting their score, whereas, you know, there were concerns that there were schools that were seriously challenged and were low performing that could use some extra attention that were having artificially inflated scores.
So how long have they used this achievement gap in calculating the formula?
Since the start of the top to bottom ranking, which I believe was 2011.
It took them this long to figure out that that might not be a good measure.
Well, they want to update it, you know, every now and again. So they, you know, every couple of years, they want to take a look and say, are we measuring schools appropriately? Are we getting the right kind of information? What they didn't expect is that, I mean, so the Department of Ed knew that they were changing a bunch of things. And so in order to protect schools from serious consequences from that, the Michigan Department of Ed said they were putting, you know, what they call, you know, like an accountability pause and telling schools, don't worry, you know, we're changing the tests, we're changing the formula, but we're not going to have any serious consequences for schools such as closure for a couple of years.
That's what the Board of Ed said, but the School Reform Office, which Governor Snyder took out of the Board of Education and put it under his authority, they used the rankings to say those 38 schools that they've been talking about in danger of closing. So if these rankings are so different and so wildly different, how could you base any decision on this?
There's definitely a lot of people asking that question. Part of it is actually in the law, so at least as it relates to the city of Detroit. So when the Detroit Public Schools legislation passed last summer that put $617 million into the Detroit school system to kind of save it from bankruptcy, there were a bunch of, you know, rules and restrictions put into that law. And one of them was that every school in the city of Detroit that was on the bottom 5% of the state ranking for 3 years in a row, you know, will be shut down. That's what the law says. And so the School Reform Office was, you know, complying with the law as they saw it and as the state attorney general saw it, and saying, you know, not only should we do this, we have to do it. And so they made a list. Actually, the Department of Ed didn't put out the ranking list in 2015 because of their, you know, accountability pause. But the school reform office put out a list of just the bottom 5%. So then they used the rankings from 2014, this bottom five list from 2015, and the 2016 list to say, okay, this is 3 years of data, and these are the schools, these 38 schools, that are going to be closed or could be closed.
Now, we should say the state is giving those worst performing schools 60 days to come up with a turnaround plan. Do we have any idea what happens then?
I think for the most part, you know, most people believe that these schools are all going to stay open at least for a little while, they'll get an 18-month reprieve. But what happens in 18 months, you know, if the schools aren't able to meet their targets, isn't clear. And then there's also the question, there were a whole host of schools that were put on notice that if they don't get off that bottom five list in 2017, the test that's being taken this spring, that they are in danger of being closed as well.
Okay. Your report didn't cover what I'm about to ask you, and that is, if you keep closing the bottom 5% of the schools every year, you're going to run out of schools before too long. I mean, why has the state taken this approach rather than finding out what's wrong with these schools and investing in them and trying to help these students out?
Well, that's certainly one of the criticisms of using the bottom 5% as a criteria for school closure, because, you know, if a school is in the 7th or 8th or 9th percentile this year and you close the bottom 5, you're going to get a new list of bottom 5 next year, and it becomes a little bit of a, you know, revolving door.
Or circling the drain, one of the two.
Something like that. But I should also note that the changes in the ranking system, obviously the schools at the bottom, these 38 schools, are facing the most serious consequence, which is school closure. But higher performing schools are also facing very significant consequences as well, because this is a state where, you know, school districts are extremely competitive, you know, especially in cities like Detroit, where there's lots and lots of charter schools and kids can use schools of choice and can cross over to the other district. So if a school loses goes from a high ranking to a low ranking, you know, parents are going to vote with their feet and go to another school. So even for the schools that aren't being shut down, there's a real cost to them from having, you know, changes to the ranking system.
The title of your article is How Changes to Michigan's School Ranking System Hurt Cass Tech and Help the DeVos Family Charter School. Tell me about the DeVos Family Charter School.
The West Michigan Aviation Academy went from the 32nd percentile to the 87th percentile, which means it went up by 55 points in the same 2-year period.
So the Detroit public schools, a lot of them, went down by 50 points, and the DeVos Charter School went up by 50 points.
There were schools across the state of different levels. It wasn't just that urban schools went down, and, you know, I mean, the DeVos schools in Grand Rapids, it's also urban.
Okay. All right. So it was a mix then.
I mean, if there are patterns, I didn't identify them. I think somebody probably could. You know, a larger analysis might be able to determine, you know, what caused some schools to go up and other schools to go down. But there were so many things that changed.
Right.
So it is a known fact that when a test changes, more affluent schools are often better able to adapt to the change than lower income schools. So even if they hadn't changed the ranking system, you know, there's a strong likelihood that urban schools would have taken a bigger hit than suburban schools.
Because of the changes in the test, the MEEP to MSTEP and ACT to SAT, right?
Correct.
That is Erin Einhorn. She's a reporter with Chalkbeat. That article title again is How Changes to Michigan's School Ranking System Hurt Cass Tech and Help the DeVos Family Charter School. Thanks for telling us about this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.